Well, I guess it's that time of year to say Happy New Year. So good to be together with all of you. Hey, a quick show of hands. Who's willing to be honest in church and say that you've already messed up your New Year's resolution? Anybody? Okay, I see some honest hands. These are the people that love Jesus. They'll be honest. Well, if that is you, I have some good news for you. As I have always understood the rules, it is not officially the start of your New Year's resolution until the pastor has preached his first sermon of the year. You know, because like sometimes it's like January 2nd or 3rd or 4th. Is the first Sunday. Now you got all the way till the 7th. So really, your New Year's resolution actually starts tomorrow. So you're good. There's a covenant of grace here, and you are set. And hopefully, this is a solid chance for you to restart. Well, my message title today is Abundantly More in 2024. And I need your help to get started today and kind of get going. When I say the words abundantly more, what comes to mind? So shout it out. What comes to mind for you guys? Help me out.
Food.
Abundantly more. Yes. Most of you are like, that's what I'm trying not to have. You're so right. Yeah. What else comes to mind when you think of abundant? What was that? Peace. I love that. Getting deep there, right? And I feel that. What else? What comes to mind?
Money.
There we go. Literally, this was the first thing on my list, you know, and I wrote that down. The first thing that came to mind for me was the image in my head was Scrooge McDuck jumping into the pile of money in DuckTales. How many of you guys have that image in your mind? You know, a couple of years ago at the Disney convention, they actually recreated that scene with a foam pit and people could like go through it and take a picture for their social media and the line was like hours long. It's ridiculous. So definitely money's up there. You know, some of us might think of like social media and our posts kind of getting more activity, something going viral, getting more follows. I know there's a lot of people in this room that could care less about social media, and that's fine, but it's just one of those things that's just a part of our culture today. Some of you might think about something related to a new job when you think of the idea of abundantly more. Some of you might think of the idea of a promotion within your current job that you have. Some of you might think of increased sales in your business or something that you're involved with in a financial level on that way. Some of you, when you think of the idea of abundantly more, you think of a new place to live. And I know that there have been people in the last year who were praying for a new place to live and God came through. Some of you may be praying for that in the next phase of your life. Some of you, when you hear the phrase abundantly more, you think of starting or finishing a degree program. Maybe there's a goal that you have academically that you want to get something under your belt and you're working towards that. Some of you, when you think of the idea of or the words abundantly more, you think of a new relationship that you've been praying for in your life, or maybe taking the relationship that you're currently in to the next level that God would have it to be. Some of you, when you hear the two words abundantly more, you can't help but think of healing from a broken relationship that happened in the past year of your life. And you feel like God's just kind of helping you pick up the pieces of your life and put them back together. Some of you, when you hear the two words abundantly more, you think of God healing and bringing joy or more joy into your marriage. Maybe you want to have a little bit more fun in your marriage. Maybe 23 was hard on your relationship, and there's some goals that you have there. Some of you, when you hear the two words abundantly more, you think of being blessed with a child, or maybe being blessed with more children, if that would be the will of God for you. But the reason I share all of those things is that the tendency is to think of things in life that we don't currently have or things that we would like to have more of. And I'll tell you what we don't often think of as much unless we force ourselves to do it. I can be guilty of this. And that's the growth spiritually that God may want to bring on the inside of us. The goals that are a lot easier to set are often the tangible things, you know, more of this, more of that. And that way other people can look at you and you seem more successful on the outside. But what if the abundantly more that God wanted to bring into your life in 2024 was on the inner you, on the inside, that no one else sees? Well, with that in mind, I want you to open a Bible to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Ephesians is in the New Testament. If you don't know where it is, you can look it up in your table of contents. And also, if you didn't bring a Bible with you, you can download the YouVersion app. Click on the English Standard Version. That's the version that I read from every single week, just about. And Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 is one of the best blessings and benedictions in all of Scripture. It's my prayer for our church this year. It's my prayer for your life this year. It's my prayer for my life and my family this year. And I'm praying that God does abundantly more in all aspects of our lives. This is certainly a time of year when people are thinking about, you know, goals and changes that they want to make in their life. And so I hope that you are setting goals physically in your life. I hope that you're setting goals relationally in your life. I hope that you're setting goals professionally in your life. I hope that you're setting goals financially and in every other area in your life. But today, I am mostly going to be talking about the changes that start on the inside that no one else sees, and also how to think about the other kind. So I will get a little bit into it. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to read Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. So if you would bow your head and your heart with me in prayer, we'll read this together. Jesus, I thank you that because of the life that you lived, the sacrifice that you made, and your resurrection, God, and then the impartation and the giving of your Holy Spirit to all of us who believe, Lord, nothing is impossible. And because of all that, God, you do want abundantly more than all we think, ask, or imagine. So help us today to tap into your higher thoughts for our lives, into your higher will for our lives. God, help us to see ourselves clearly and help us to see your will for our lives clearly as well. We pray today that you would use your word to open our eyes to see what you want us to see, open our ears to hear what you want us to hear from it, and open our hearts today, that we'd respond and become the disciples you want us to be as a result of having read it and spent time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So just 3:20 to 21. Says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, how about that for a theme verse for your life in 2024? And the New Living Translation of the Bible, which I'm a huge fan of, it translates the word abundantly to infinitely more. And the point here that it starts with is that the reason God blesses us is so that God will get all the glory. Think about this. Why would God bless us with more of anything in our lives if we're just going to use it for ourselves? See, the reason that God blesses us is so that he can get more glory out of our lives. So decide right here and right now that I will live my life in a way that glorifies God in 2024. If you don't start doing that right here and right now, I think it's unrealistic to expect that God would change much in our lives in 2024. Because if he wouldn't do it, if it's just we're going to use it for ourselves. God blesses us so that we'll glorify him. The second thing I love about this text is it talks about how God is able. Friends, don't sell yourself short of what God may want to do in your life this year. Don't sell God short. It won't be you when it happens. It won't be Pastor Kyle when it happens in my life. It will be his mighty work at mighty power at work within us. And thirdly, God wants to do more. You know, sometimes I find myself mistakenly believing that I somehow want more for my life than God seems to at a given time. And the Bible is crystal clear from what we just read and a lot of other places that that is absolutely not the case. Some of you have been so beaten down by life, by failures from the last year or from the past that you don't believe, or you're struggling to believe maybe, that God wants more for you and he does want to do more in your life. Fourthly, God wants his church to experience abundantly more. So track with me for just a minute. So God blesses us so that he'll get more glory in our lives when we use the extra or the more to bless him. And then when that happens, more people around us begin to experience the goodness and the blessing of God. So the question becomes, how does God get more glory through us than he would just through our individual lives? Well, the answer is when his church is experiencing abundantly more. Because when the church gets blessed with abundantly more flowing through you, the people, and to the people that you love, more people come to Christ, the gospel gets spread, and that leads to God getting even more glory, impacting future generations, just like the verse says, forever and ever. Amen. And so God wants to do abundantly more in 24, but also in every single year of your life. I sent an e-blast and a blog post this last week talking about how I'm actually not real big on New Year's resolutions. And I do them still, and as a great time just making the list and kind of rethink. But I'm more about continual life advancement. And so if a new year is a catalyst for you to think about those things, great. But really, whether it's the start of a new year or October 28th, it is always a great time to begin to think about continual life advancement. And see, it's not just the start of the new year that God wants to do abundantly more. It's every single day. So when you came in today, everybody should have gotten a note sheet. And the first section listed on there just says two biblical reasons to be continually focused on life advancement. So in other words, not just to think about it for a new year, but that the Bible really speaks to God wanting to do this all the time in our lives. And the first thing that I'd love for you to jot down is that God saved me from something for something. So the first reason to really live for continual life advancement, which is what we're thinking about today, is that God saved us from something for something. He's got a purpose for us. Chapters 1-3 in the book of Ephesians are all about the gospel, essentially how God saved us from something. And then chapters 4-6 are all about our story and how we're supposed to live that out. So that's the how to live out this life. And sandwiched in between is a prayer coupled with that blessing that I read to you. And that prayer has, and that benediction has blessed Christians for generations and generations to come. And what comes right before that in verse 14, it starts, is this little prayer. And I just want to read it to you because it's so powerful. It starts in verse 14 of chapter 3. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So this prayer starts out as a response to almost three chapters of talking about the gospel, or in other words, what God has done for us to save us, to bring us from darkness to light, from bondage into freedom. And Paul says, since all these truths are real, he falls to his knees in prayer. And specifically, he prays that people would be strengthened in the inner being by the power of Christ, filled with the love of Christ and all of the fullness of God. When our inner being is filled with all the fullness of God, our response should be worship and to fall on our knees and then to realize that there is no limit there are no God-imposed limits on our lives. There's only self-imposed limits because the fullness of God dwells in us. And then in reference to the gospel, you know, God didn't save us from something for nothing. He saved us from something for something that he has for us in our lives. Nigel often asks me a question. He doesn't do it quite as much anymore because it's kind of sinking in, but he often used to ask me, Dad, why is it that after we become a Christian, why don't we just go straight to heaven? And you know, think about that, like a little guy trying to figure that out. It's cute. And I said, well, buddy, that's a really good question. And I would tell him, the reason we just don't go straight to heaven is because God left us here for a purpose, because he has people that he wants us to bless and things he wants us to do, so more people will come into the kingdom. In other words, God saved us from something for something. We don't just go to heaven the minute we become Christian. Once we become a Christian, then that's when we're called to live out our God-given purpose. Friend, think about your past. Think about all the mistakes that you've made. Think about all the good that God has used to accomplish in your life. Why did God do all that for you? Well, number one, because he loves you. But secondly, because he wants to give you a purpose in your life so more people will come into the kingdom of heaven. God saved you for you, no doubt. But God saved you not just for you. He saved you to bless his kingdom. And when we realize that God saved us from something for something, it gives us a renewed daily reason to wake up and focus every single day on continual life advancement, that the blessings of the past are a foundation that God will use to get more glory out of our lives for the purpose of advancing his kingdom. So yeah, I believe in making goals, whether it's at the new year or just any old day of the year. But what I think the Bible speaks most to is continual life advancement, because God saved us from something for something. Here's a second biblical reason that I think the Bible speaks to continual life advancement, and it's this: prayer has unimaginable power. Ephesians 3:14 says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." And that "for this reason" is referring back to the gospel and all that God has done for us in the first three chapters of the book. You know, the natural response of people to the gospel should be to realize that we have nothing without God. Our best move, no matter where we're at in life, is always to pray. Prayer has unimaginable power. And this may not happen every time, but oftentimes in prayer, a thought comes into my head, a sense of something that I should do, a person that I'm supposed to talk to about a given topic, an apology that I'm supposed to make about something that I said that I didn't mean or that I meant but shouldn't have said. A worry dissipates. A fear suddenly doesn't seem as bad, or I get a better idea about where to put that fear and how to think about that fear in light of all that I know about God and in my experience in life. See, prayer has unimaginable power because it connects us to God and it enables our focus to shift from our depravity to God's glory. It enables our focus to shift from our lack and everything that we think that we don't have enough of to the riches of Christ in his glory. It shifts our focus from our weakness to his strength. It shifts our focus from our ignorance to his surpassing knowledge. Prayer is the place that the next game-changing idea for your life may come into play. See, prayer is then when you will also find the power to live out that next game-changing idea. Friends, prayer has unimaginable power in your life. Whether you've been a Christian for 30 minutes, 30 days, or 30 years, God may have something new that he wants to speak into your life. And for that reason, I believe the Bible speaks to continual life advancement. You know, one of the things that I'm learning always, but one in particular, is to pray before I plan. You know, the natural thing for me to do as a leader is to plan and to put everything out. And then at the end of all of it, I kind of pray this sprinkling prayer, like, "Lord, now bless everything that I've already thought of, because this is some awesome stuff down there on the paper." And to an extent, I don't think it's wrong if you're a planning kind of a person to come up with ideas and then pray, and then maybe God speaks to you after and you refine it, and that's fine. I really believe God will work with what we give him, but I'm just being challenged at this point in my life to pray all along through the process. In the beginning, to ask God for his thoughts, because he says in his word that his thoughts are higher than mine and his ways are higher than mine, that he wants to do abundantly more than I think, ask, or imagine. And so I'm trying to learn to partner with God to pray before, to pray as I do it, and to pray after, and to continue to refine those things. And so otherwise, you know, what I tend to do is to default to a list of things that I've done for years and go, "Well, God, that was pretty good, so why don't we just keep doing that? People liked it back in the day, so I think they'll just keep liking it today." And maybe God has something fresh that I'm missing out of. Or the reverse of that is maybe there's something that God actually wants me to change, and or something that I've failed at because I've tried to do it in my own strength. And God's like, "Hey, I want you to do this. You can do it, but you can't do it by yourself." So here's something to think about. Why have so many New Year's resolutions in your life and in my life failed? There's probably a whole host of reasons why that's the case, but maybe it's because we're trying to do it in our strength rather than in the power of the Spirit of God. I love Zechariah 4:6 that says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." There's a great story in Mark 9:14 through 28. I'm not gonna read the whole thing or read it, but you can read it on your own time this week, but I'll tell you kind of some of the gist of it. It's a story about a boy who was mute and he had an unclean spirit and he foamed at the mouth and he had a great dad. His dad cared about him. His dad had taken him to all the religious leaders of his day to fix him. He had taken him to all of the doctors and nobody could do anything about it. In fact, his dad had even taken him to Jesus' disciples who weren't able to do it. And so one day the dad comes across Jesus and he sees him there. And the dad comes up to Jesus and he says, "Lord, if you're able, please heal my son." And I love Jesus the way he looks at him. And he says, "If I'm able..." He says, "All things are possible for the one who believes." And then I love the dad's response where he said, "Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief." That's oftentimes where I live. And so Jesus goes and he talks to the kid and he comes over him and he prays over him and he heals him and boom, it's all gone. And my favorite part of the story, the part that I want to highlight right now is afterwards, the disciples come up to him and they're like, "Jesus, why weren't we able to do that? I mean, we followed your 7-point thing from your teaching series that you had outlined on how to cast a demon out. We couldn't do it." And Jesus is like, "Oh, that's easy. Some kind of demons can only be casted out through prayer." And so I wonder, when we think about all of the New Year's resolutions and all of the things in our lives, the goals that we've had that we haven't achieved, I wonder how many of them haven't been achieved, not because they weren't the right idea, but because they weren't bathed in prayer. We did it in our own strength instead of doing it on our knees. And some of the New Year's resolutions in your life that have failed continuously will fail again if you don't tackle them through the power of the Spirit through prayer. And so I believe that the Bible does speak to continual life advancement because God saved us from something for something. And secondly, because prayer has unimaginable power. And so what I want to talk about now is three keys to experiencing abundantly more in 2024. And I'm going to take a slightly different bent than you might think of with a typical New Year's kind of goal-oriented sort of message. And so I'm just going to come straight at it in the first one. And this is what I want you to jot down. If you want to experience abundantly more in 2024, start by cleaning up areas of disobedience and removing blind spots in your life. The minute I said that first service, the room got real quiet. And this room's been quiet the whole time, guys. So come on, second service, wake up a little bit. But it's like, yeah, I'm going there. I'm going to go full pedal to the metal right now. If you want to experience abundantly more in 2024, I believe with all my heart, it's got to start with cleaning up any area of disobedience that's in our life and removing spiritual blind spot. A blind spot is obviously something that we can't always see about ourselves, but someone else is a little more aware of. So you have to invite people in that you feel comfortable with and ask them sometimes, "Hey, is there something I'm not seeing in my life?" You know, many, perhaps most of our goals that we make around a new year are outcome oriented. And I'll get to those in the next point. But Ephesians 3:16 says that God wants to strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being. So the question is, how do we strengthen our inner being? Well, there's a lot that goes to that, but I could tell you what weakens it. And what weakens it is flat out disobedience and ignoring personal blind spots. Let me put it to you this way. If you accomplished every single one of your outward goals for your life in 2024, but you did not clean up the areas of disobedience in your life, I think God would be like, "Whoopee," you know, good for you. You filled your life full of stuff that's going to burn up when you get to heaven anyway, and it's not going to have any value in eternity. See, our inner being is strengthened through a life of obedience and surrender to God. And what obedience does is it lays a sure foundation that you can build upon for your future. And so some of you may have some big goals, and that's great. Work on those. Make steps towards them. But right alongside of it, make it your priority to clean up any areas of disobedience, if there are any, or get rid of those blind spots that are causing you to fail repeatedly. And so I'm going to do something right now that I'm going to need a little bit of participation with and a little bit of help, okay? So in a minute, I'm going to ask anybody who calls themselves a Christian to raise their hand. Okay, not yet, because I'm going to count to three and I'll tell you when we're going to do it. Because by the way, this is a Christian church. I'm putting it out there. But there are always weeks where people are coming who are seeking. And if that's you, that's fine. We're glad you're here. So I'm going to speak to the Christians first in the room. And so on the count of three, if you call yourself a Christian, I'm going to have you raise your hand right now. Okay, one, two, three. How many of you call yourself a Christian? Leave it up. Okay, all right. Those of you who aren't, we know who to pray for. I'm just kidding, okay? But you can go ahead and put them down. And I'm glad for those of you that put it up, because Jesus did say, if you're ashamed of me before man, he'll be ashamed of you before his father. So just throw that out there, okay? But I'm glad that in church, you were willing to say, yes, I am a Christian. That's why I'm here. I want to grow in my faith. So if you call yourself a Christian, which was the overwhelming majority of the people in the room, I want to tell you something else that's true about you. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And so that means the minute that you become a believer, your conscience got activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And everybody is given a conscience in this life. That just means the ability to tell between right and wrong. That conscience, I believe, is implanted at birth and then is then refined throughout our lives from experiences that we have, upbringing, and then just other experiences that we have. But that innate conscience God gives to every single person inside of them. But when a person becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit activates that conscience. And so now not only can you tell the difference between right and wrong, you can actually have the power to do the right and even to cherish doing the right thing. So with all of that said, as we begin a new year in 2024, Christians, which again was the overwhelming majority of you who raised your hand, I want you to use the Holy Spirit to search your heart right now. Psalm 139, 23, and 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Is there anything in your life right now that you know is not pleasing to God? It could be as simple as a bad attitude that's affecting people around you, a harsh tone that you catch yourself having at the wrong moments. Maybe for some of you, it's a relationship that's not right. And maybe there's a whole host of reasons why, you know, maybe the person isn't walking with God. Maybe it just not, they are walking with God, but they're not the right person for you, whatever it might be. For some of you, it might be how you talk to your spouse or to your children. Some of you, it may be something from your past that you need to work through, maybe in a counseling environment. Maybe it's an unethical business decision that you made that you need to make right. Maybe it's something in the realm of sexual purity in your life that God wants to set right in your life today. If you're married, maybe you've gotten a little too chummy with someone who's not your spouse, and God's like, I want you to make it right. Maybe it's something in your finances. I don't know what it is. It could be a whole host or litany of different things or something entirely different. But what I do know is that if you want to grow in 2024, God wants it to start with your obedience. And he wants you to tackle that first and make it right. And when inner being strength is our top priority in life, this is what the Apostle Paul says will happen. He says, Christ will dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so what he's getting at is that everything you want in your life and for your future starts with laying a foundation of obedience and surrender to God right here and right now. So I just want to encourage you, if there is any even small shred of disobedience or blind spot that is keeping you from experiencing the abundant life that God has for you, deal with it now. You will reap the benefit and the blessing of it for literally the rest of your life, even if it's tough right here and now. So start by cleaning up disobedience and removing blind spots. That's the foundation of where any goal will be achieved from, and strengthening that inner man or that inner woman. But how about the other kind? How about the, you know, all the other kind of goals that you're setting in your life? Well, I got a couple of thoughts. It's not exhaustive, but here's a couple more thoughts on how to experience abundantly more in 2024. The second one is this. Think like a tortoise and work like a beaver. I'm going somewhere with this, I promise, okay? Now, of course, having little kids that not too long ago came out of the cocoa melon phase, I'm acquainted with such things. And so there's the famous story that many of us have been acquainted with most of our lives, of the tortoise and the hare, right? And Cocoa Melon even adds a song to it, which I am not gonna sing right now. But it says, since he thought he couldn't lose, he laid right down to take a snooze. And yet, oh yes, the hare felt very sure that he would win. So the tortoise kept inching his way down the road. He passed the sleeping and unaware hare, and the determined tortoise reached the finish line first. We all know the story. Every single time, the tortoise wins. And so if you think about tortoises, by the way, there's this amazing tortoise at the San Diego Zoo. How many of you guys are San Diego Zoo fans? Any San Diego Zoo fans? A few people. Man, first service was like everybody. Now nobody here likes the zoo. Fine, you're animal haters, I guess. I don't know. I'm kidding. Wake up, okay? So at San Diego Zoo, there is a famous tortoise that is 139 years old named Grandma. Have you guys ever seen this story? Anybody? And literally, it was at the zoo when the zoo started in 1916. They actually don't know how old this tortoise was when it was there, but it's still there today. If you think about tortoises, what do? They eat a lot of vegetables. They're not ever in a hurry to get anywhere. They sleep a lot. They hibernate like 4 months out of the year. I'm making a goal to hibernate for 4 months in 2024, I wish. But literally, they have outlived these tortoises, every caretaker they've had time and time again over. Now, here's what I'm not saying from this illustration, okay? I'm not saying be slow and lazy and get comfortable doing nothing like a turtle that sleeps all day, all right? That is not the point. In fact, on a very serious note, if you sleep all day, that is a sign of depression. And that may be God trying to bring awareness to something in your life where you need some support to focus on in 24. So what I am saying is to keep making conscious and continual positive effort towards the direction of whatever goal that God has set in front of you, rather than assuming that it's all gonna happen in a week or in a month or even in a year for that matter. And that's why I added work like a beaver. Now, again, my love for the San Diego Zoo, they also have this awesome beaver who's part of this show, and they talked all about all the things that he does and how they'll build up their whole dam and they'll tear the whole thing down and they'll rebuild it again. They're always fixing and improving something. It's incredible. And so the point of thinking like a tortoise is thinking and planning for long-term success. Think about things that are going to set you up to succeed in 5 months. Think about things that are going to set you up to succeed in 5 years, in 10 years and beyond. Now, the good news is this. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. Now, I love that encouragement over my life, that the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. But can we be real in church? Sometimes it feels like he's a little slow, doesn't it? It feels like, man, God, your definition of not slow is like nowhere near mine. But the reality is that to God, biblical abundance and the abundance that he has for you and for me, it's built over a lifetime. It's not even built in a year. So whatever goal you have, plan like you're going to keep building on it your whole life. See, that'll help you build it sustainably, because like the old saying goes, Rome wasn't built in a day. That'll help you plan for something that will continually last. And that will help you plan to continually improve whatever goal you're working on right now. Now the internet, you know, these days is full of all these things that say, you know, 10x your life in a year, you know, and you see these different things and a lot of them, you know, have really good principles that if you were to take the thing, maybe that's just the marketing slogan they use to like say their product or whatever. But I honestly think most of us could not handle that level of dramatic improvement in a year. And that's why God is so good. And maybe from our perspective, it seems a little slow, but from his perspective, he knows right what he's doing. And he gives us the incremental growth in our life that we can handle over time. See, God works powerfully in our lives. Yet sometimes from our perspective, it doesn't always seem like he's on time, but he is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness. See, we need to think like a tortoise and we need to work like a beaver. Step by step, inch by inch, little by little. Here's the third thing I would have you know about how to experience abundantly more in 24. Don't shrink back ever. If you got a Bible with you, flip over to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to go to verse 39. Hebrews 10, I will get there eventually. There she is. Hebrews 10:39 says this, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." And as I think of this crowd in this room today, again, the overwhelming majority of you raised your hand that yes, I am a Christian. So when he was writing this letter, the author of the Hebrews, he was writing mostly to Christians, but some who were not, less like any church environment. And I love it. It says, but we, the Christians, we're not like those who shrink back. That's not what we do and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls or our souls. You know, if you want a life of abundance, it's going to happen one step at a time, one brick at a time, one little piece of obedience at a time. And the defining difference between what's going to cause something to fail or succeed is ultimately whether you decide at some point that it's too hard. You know, I thought I could do this, but I gotta take this step back and I gotta keep shrinking back. And instead of continuous forward momentum towards the goal that God has put on your heart and in your mind, there comes those points in the journey where people are tempted to give up. And right at that point when you're tempted to give up, friend, that is when I promise you, don't give up. Get back up when you fall down. When you sense something declining a little bit into your life, give some concentrated effort towards that thing. If you see fruit growing in your life, pick it, sell it, prune it, replant it. If you've made even an inch of progress in your marriage, keep building upon it. If you started to treat people a little bit nicer, keep doing it. If you had to cut out a relationship because it wasn't right in your life, I want to encourage you to keep waiting for the right person that God has for you. Single people in the room, the best way to attract the person God has for you in your future is to live your life like the person that you know God wants you to be. Because when you live your life like the person that you know God wants you to be, in due time, you will attract that same kind of person. Keep inviting your family and your friends to church. Keep being the Christian around them that is a continual positive force of love of Jesus towards them. If you want abundantly more, friend, the key is to not shrink back. I love these words from the author of Hebrews who says, but we, the people of faith, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. I pray this year that you have set some goals. I pray that you are making and going to make some steps towards them. But most importantly, as you're taking those steps, I pray that you don't shrink back. It's the defining trait of a Christian. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for the reminder from your word that you want us to keep taking steps forward. God, that you implant goals and visions and dreams in our hearts, but that your greatest dream for us is that we would be your disciples and that we would love you with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds. And so right here today, I want to give anyone in here a chance to repent, honestly. if there are some things in 2023 that you know were not pleasing to God, I'm going to give you a chance in prayer between you and God to confess those things. I'm just going to be silent for a minute while you talk to God. Jesus, we surrender our failures to you. We put them at the foot of the cross, where we know that you are more than able to save us from them, to deliver us from them, and to help us to begin to make progress towards them, towards overcoming them. And Lord, we also lay down our successes of the last year, because all of it ultimately is about what you want to do in our life today. And we thank you for the foundation of blessing that is behind us. But we know, Lord, that we still have to obey you today, and we have to continue to make those choices. And so we lay everything from our lives at the foot of the cross. We forget what lies behind. We receive your grace, and we press on towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so if you're here today and your issue is that you've never made the decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I can imagine that even in a room where everybody raised their hand, or most people, there might be some that still have some questions. And so if that's you, and you have been window shopping God and the Bible and the claims of Christianity, I'm going to give you a chance right here and now to step over the line and become a Christian. It's not mystical. It's not magical. God hears the faith that's in your heart. Just say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and the sins of the world. I believe you died there. I believe you rose from the grave so I could have everlasting life. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me the power to live this life for you. God, I'm tired of running. Here's the steering wheel of my heart. Would you take over? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.